Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch. Full stop. And their ceramic watch material almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift-giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at movement.com. That's MVMT.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
What an incredible weekend of Big 12 football. Welcome in to Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Thank you for being here as always as a part of the show. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start in Manhattan? Do you want to start in Provo? Where do you want to start? We got coaches saving their jobs in Week 12 of the Big 12 football season. My goodness. You've got one team, I think, looking head and shoulders above the rest in this conference. You got teams people aren't talking about still hanging around the standings. And you had a little Friday night action that saw an upset as well. Welcome in. Let's get it rolling. And as always, hit that subscribe button on the video. If you haven't yet subscribed to this channel, we are going to have 2 weeks of chaos coming up in the Big 12. And you want to make sure you are here for every single show. So thank you for doing that. The subscriptions to the channel, YouTube, the podcast have been skyrocketing, and I can't thank you guys enough for making that happen. Hit the thumbs up as well as we get this show off and running. So let's start in Provo, Utah, where my lock of the week was Kansas plus +3. I didn't like how BYU had been playing. I thought Kansas was one of the hottest teams in this conference. And I thought they were going to give him trouble. And I love my BYU friends. I love our BYU folks on our message boards. But there was this pushback. And the pushback was nobody beats us at night. Nobody. We don't get beat at home at night in Provo. It doesn't happen. Well, that is what happened on Saturday. And I'm here to tell you that I always thought this was possible. And we saw BYU come back down to earth a little bit. And it doesn't mean that BYU can't win the Big 12. They can, although they got a huge game coming up in Tempe we'll talk about later on. But all in all, this is a Kansas team that is finally starting to look like the team that we thought they could be all season long. They had fourth quarter blown win after fourth quarter blown win, and they lost all these games. And then Jalen Daniels knocked off the rust, got comfortable with the new offensive coordinator, and while he didn't have an amazing night by any stretch, he did do enough, right? And obviously, you know, you look at the end of that game, you look how it played out, and you had a special team special from Kansas that set up the go-ahead touchdown late, and then the defense continued to work a lot of its magic. And that's where I thought really Kansas won this game. It was really indisputable. I mean, the Kansas defense did a very good job the entire night. And it was kind of a bend-but-don't-break style of defense. They got outgained by over 100 yards. They gave up 10 more first downs than they got, right? I mean, all these things that if you just look at a box score, you say, how did BYU lose this game at home? Well, the turnovers, especially the key one that turned this game around, obviously was a big factor in this game. And then you just look at KU locking down defensively when they needed to. And that's is ultimately what got them this win on the road over BYU. And of course, you had a defensive line that I thought played pretty darn well, for the Jayhawks as well. So overall, this is a KU team that nobody should want to play, and now they get Colorado at home. So this is fascinating. You have Utah, who just played BYU and Colorado back-to-back, and now Kansas plays BYU and Colorado back-to-back. Utah lost to both of them. Will KU split their games? Will they beat both of them? We'll find out next week. It's an old Big 12 North matchup. But this is obviously, if you're looking at this from a Big 12 perspective, there is almost no way the Big 12 now gets two teams into the college football playoff, right? I mean, I think we can all agree on that. It just seems impossible for the Big 12 to get two teams in. At this point, the conversation is going to go as follows. Does the Big 12 champion deserve one of the four byes in the college football playoff, or could Boise State take one of those byes and potentially the Big 12 champion be an at-large bid in the college football playoff? Let me just say right now, there is zero way the Big 12 champion should not get one of the four byes in favor of Boise freaking State. I mean, that would be such an insult to the Big 12. Now, I wouldn't put it past the committee to do it, but I'm sorry. Boise State's schedule of Hawaii and San Diego State and Nevada and San Jose State, with basically their best game being a loss to Oregon, that is ridiculous to think that you're going to compare that resume and give it a bye over a Big 12 champion like Colorado that, fine, might have a bad loss to Nebraska. But if the whole point of having human beings on this committee is to get beyond the computers and get beyond the numbers, then the human being should know that when it comes to Colorado in particular, well, a lot of transfer guys, this is a totally different team. They have gelled in a way that a lot of us weren't sure they could gel over the last 2 months. That's what you've seen from Colorado. The human beings, the supposed experts on the college football committee, are supposed to be the ones that know that. And if you put a Boise State team with one loss to Oregon over a two-loss Colorado Big 12 champion, then this committee doesn't know what the hell it's doing and has no business moving forward getting any respect from anybody. I mean, the whole thing is a mess right now because you get all these SEC teams fighting. The SEC thinks it should have like eight teams in the playoff. I mean, it's a freaking joke when you go look at the SEC. They're all lobbying for why like four-loss SEC teams should be in the playoff. It is comical. It was also very predictable the second this thing expanded to 12, okay? But the BYU loss does solidify almost any chance the Big 12 can get two teams in. And here's the thing. I'm okay with that because I'm not convinced the Big 12 has two teams who are going to be able to compete at a high level in this thing. And I'd rather be in a situation where the Big 12 gets one team in that can actually compete. And it might be BYU. It might be Colorado. It might be Arizona State. You know, I mean, it still could be Iowa State on the outside looking in. But I'd rather us get behind one team who's got a shot to make some noise in this playoff than put multiple teams in there and they all get blown out. That would not be a good look at this point for the Big 12. So that's why I'm okay with how things played out. And my fear with BYU is that they were playing with fire for a while. They're good. Do I think they're top four in the country good? No. I don't think Indiana's top four in the country good. I think that they have gotten away with being really good teams who have exceeded expectations, who also had favorable schedules. And there's no need to apologize for that if you're a BYU fan. And I know you're going to tell me about strength of record and all these different things, but I'm just looking from the outside here and saying, okay, all in all, you stack up the schedules. Do I think BYU and Indiana are legit top five teams in the country? I didn't last week. But they kept winning, so you couldn't take anything away from them, right? Well, now you have a home loss to Kansas, who's playing better and is one of the most dangerous teams in the Big 12 over the final 2 weeks of the season. And the big thing for BYU right now, and this has been something that I think we've wondered for quite some time, is I just want to make sure that offense can keep humming. You saw a lot of issues in the first half against Utah. You saw it all night against Kansas. So they've had these moments where the offense just isn't clicking. And you're going to have to make sure that there is consistency on that side of the ball over these last couple of weeks and potentially into a Big 12 championship game. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Thank you guys, as always, for being here as a part of the show. So let's go to Manhattan, Kansas. That is where Arizona State beat Kansas State 24-14 on Saturday. And my goodness, Forks Up is right. Congratulations, Sun Devils. You guys, combined with the BYU loss, are in the thick of the Big 12 title race. You heard that right. Arizona State, in case you did not know, controls its own destiny to a Big 12 championship game. If they beat BYU and they beat Arizona, they are 7-2 in the Big 12, and they are in. That is truly amazing when you think about Arizona State and how they were picked to finish dead last in the Big 12. They were picked 16th out of 16 teams. No one thought they'd win a game. Three last year. Kenny Dillingham trying to figure out everything. He's 34 years old. Look at him now. They are in prime position. And I think they can beat BYU. At home, Cam Scataboo is back, is healthy, and you saw the difference in this offense on Saturday night. He wasn't there for the last game, of course, against UCF. They still got the win. But he's obviously one of the best running backs in the Big 12, and it wasn't about him having a huge night. He had, what, 70-some-odd rushing yards, 40-some-odd receiving yards. But just his presence opens things up for Sam Levitt, opens things up for the rest of that offense. And, man, is it a heck of a lot of fun to watch. It just has a different level of pizzazz to it, a different level of confidence to it when you've got Cam Scataboo in that lineup for the Sun Devils. And that makes him one of the most valuable players in the Big 12, hands down. And they go on the road to one of the toughest places to play in the Big 12, Bill Snyder Family Stadium, and they sucked all the energy out of that stadium in the first few drives. Now, Kansas State was its own worst enemy, and they've got a lot of problems right now. Avery Johnson is not getting better. In fact, I would argue he has regressed as a passer. But also, credit to Arizona State, right? I mean, we all talked about how Avery Johnson didn't look good. How about some credit for the Arizona State defense and what they did to make Avery Johnson uncomfortable in this game? They picked him off on the opening drive. There was a fumble a few drives later. They're scoring touchdowns. They're taking advantage of those early turnovers. And I know that Kansas State fans want to go nuts over that defensive holding penalty on Arizona State's first drive. Watch that game and tell me how Kansas State's winning it. Sure, the defense played better in the second half. That kept them in the game for sure. But my goodness, I mean, Kansas State just kept blowing off its toes one at a time. And then the special teams U moniker feels like it's all but gone for this program right now. You can point to multiple games now this season where the special teams have killed Kansas State. BYU, Houston, and then Saturday night stand out to me. The missed field goal to try to make it a one-score game late when there's 2 minutes left, you've got all three timeouts, you're still in the game, and you know your field goal kicker pushes the field goal wide right, but he pushed it wide right because the snap was bad. And then he had to kind of pause for a second because the holder had to get his act together. You cannot make that game on Saturday about the refs. And I'm not hearing a lot of that from Kansas State fans, but there was some of that early on. And that is something that right now you can't listen to. I mean, Kansas State has itself some issues. It was weird after the game listening to Chris Klieman. He starts tearing up as he talks about letting his guys down and how it's been a tough couple of weeks. And there's a lot of speculation out there as to what that means and what that's all about and why he was overly emotional. And I'm not going to get into it because it would just be speculation right now. I'm just telling you it's there. But there are two trends that continue to go against Kansas State and Chris Klieman. If you take out the COVID year, K-State is 2-5 coming off a bye week. He's like the antithesis of Andy Reid with the Chiefs, who's like never lost out of a bye week in 10 years or something crazy. And they've lost 8 games as a favorite of a touchdown or more since 2019. They were favored by 8 or 8.5 points in this game. So that is their 8th loss since 2019 when favored by a touchdown or more. That's a bad data point for Chris Klieman to have on his resume with this team. That is not a kind of position you want to be in if you're Chris Klieman, if you're Kansas State, losing 8 games in the last, what, 6 seasons, when you're favored by over a touchdown. I know the Big 12 is crazy. Part of that is just being in the Big 12, but that's also a bad look. And being bad off the bye is also not a good sign. So this game gives a lot of confidence to Arizona State. It should give a lot of confidence to Arizona State. And you guys are now right in the thick of the Big 12 conference title race. You're a game back of BYU in Colorado. You're tied with Iowa State. And you've got BYU in your home stadium coming up this weekend. It is going to be nuts in Tempe. And I cannot wait to hear from some of you Arizona State fans. We have some, but I'll say this. We need more Arizona State fans on the Heartland College Sports forums. So we've got a lot of, you know, great Big 12 fans on the forums. We need some more Arizona State love. We've only got a few of you guys, so make sure you head on over to the Heartland College Sports forums. Join us over there. We're just having a good time chopping it up with fellow Big 12 fans. Maybe, you know, you'll have some BYU folks heading down your way this week. Give them some advice on places to eat, what to do, things like that. But we'd love to see more of you guys over on the forums, which are really starting to pop with 2 weeks left in the regular season. So, incredible win. A lot of questions for Kansas State. Avery Johnson, once again, needs to figure things out. He was all over the map, missing passes left and right. And Arizona State, one thing I want to say about Arizona State, that defense does not get the credit it deserves. That defense has done a damn good job all season, and it's an underrated defense. That is not going to knock your socks off. You're not going to sit there and say they've got stars at every level, but man, they're damn good. And they've done an excellent job, especially in key spots when they need to, making big stops, making their opponents uncomfortable. There is sometimes a bend but don't break attitude to it, but man, it has been really fun to watch this program under one of the great young head coaches in the entire sport develop, get better, get more confident week after week. And the best part, if you're an Arizona State fan, your head coach is an alum. Because if not, there would be a one-way ticket out of town. But I think you've got, obviously, an amazing chance to keep this guy. And if Kenny Dillingham hangs around Tempe for years to come, I'm telling you right now, Arizona State can be one of those top 2 or 3 teams to beat year in, year out in the Big 12 if this guy hangs around and keeps building this program from the ground up. He's got the energy. He's got the smarts. He understands what's going on when they got the bowl eligibility. What did Kenny Dillingham say? Donate to our NIL. The dude just gets it. And it is so fun to see. If you're an Arizona State fan right now, you've got to be pinching yourself a little bit at what's happening with your football program as it just won its biggest game in well over a decade on Saturday night at Kansas State. So these are great times. Thank you guys for being here as a part of the show. We'll keep it rolling on Heartland College Sports next.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Let's go to Utah at Colorado. Colorado blasted Utah 49-24. It was a 10 a.m. local time kickoff at Folsom Field. Big noon kickoff was there. And I'll tell you what, this is the best team in the Big 12. I got a lot of crap from some of you when I put Colorado at number one in my power rankings. And you said, well, BYU's undefeated. I said, I don't care. That's not how I do power rankings. I do them based off what I see. Yes, it's a subjective eye test in large part. I readily admit that. That's why my name is on the power rankings. But I've been watching this Colorado team get better and better and better with not just great star power, but also a lot of depth. A defensive line that's tops in the Big 12 in sacks, that gets after the quarterback, and that was once again outstanding in all facets of the game on Saturday. 4 sacks, 9 tackles for loss. They're down 3-0 early after an early interception by Shedeur Sanders, and it doesn't matter. They get the job done. They're not flustered. They go out there, they score a couple of straight touchdowns, and they never look back. They're off to the races. They get a huge win at home. They crush Utah. And after the game, Kyle Whittingham says what? That's the best team we played all season. 1 week after he plays BYU. Some of you might say that that's Whittingham just tweaking his rival at BYU. I didn't think so. I thought it was a guy who was looking across the sideline at Deion Sanders, at that team, at that program, and saying, this team's got it top to bottom right now. And they do. This is the best team in the Big 12. This is the favorite to get to the college football playoff out of this conference. This team deserves to be the favorite to get to the college football playoff out of this conference. They've got the best player in America in Travis Hunter, two-way star, played every snap until the final 2 minutes of this game. And he was doing things that, listen, have not been done in a couple of decades in this sport. Heck, he was doing things that hadn't been done in 24 years at any level of college football. It was amazing to watch. I want to make sure I have this data point right for you here, but let me make sure I got this right, all right? I want to make sure I have it right for you because I had it the other day, and I said, let me just cross-reference this. Here we go. You ready for this? Travis Hunter. I had it right in front of me. Where the heck is it? Okay, here we go. Travis Hunter became the first player in NFL or FBS to have 50 receiving yards, a rushing touchdown, and an interception in the same game since Champ Bailey did it in the NFL for the Washington, then Redskins, against the Arizona Cardinals on Christmas Eve 2000. Some of you watching right now were not alive for that. I was 12 years old. I remember Champ Bailey. Some of you may not. That's okay. It's been 24 years since anybody did what Travis Hunter did in the NFL or at the FBS level. That is amazing. This guy should win the Heisman Trophy, and it should not be close. I don't want to hear about the Boise State running back. I don't want to hear about some overrated SEC quarterback. Travis Hunter is the Heisman Trophy winner. And barring some kind of collapse the last 2 weeks, there is no way you can take this thing away from him. And it's not even up for debate. I know we like to debate these things. It's all about the hot take and why you can make the case for fill in the blank. There is no case to make for anybody else outside of Travis Hunter. And Saturday was another example of that, with the way he played on both ends for Colorado. And once again, when they went down 3-0, I said, okay, I want to see how they react. And what do? They come back 5 plays, 60 yards, score a touchdown. It was, that first touchdown was to Will Shepard for what, 30, 40 yards from Shedeur Sanders? Then they get a punt return for a touchdown on the very next drive, and it's like, man, this team did not bat an eye. Being down 3-0 against a Utah team that I know was bad and is bad, but still, they had known from the Pac-12, Utah has been one of those top programs in the Pac-12. They've been a part of that for the last several years together. So I just thought, maybe there's a chance. And I will say this, I was watching the live odds on DraftKings during the game. I shouldn't have said DraftKings. I'm trying to get somebody on here to sponsor the show who's in the sports betting world. So I'll go wherever, by the way. I've got all the apps. I just so happened to be in the DraftKings app on Saturday when I looked up the in-game odds because it opened up at Colorado minus 13. after that interception, not after the field goal, after the interception, the live in-game odds moved to Colorado -7. That was before Utah even scored. I mean, I couldn't believe it. If you want to move it to 10, maybe I'd get that. They moved it a full touchdown after an interception, which told me, oh my goodness, everyone's kind of overreacting to what happened here with one play to open up the game. And it proved to be an overreaction because Colorado basically doubled the original spread, which was -13. So pretty amazing stuff. And I will give you this real quick shameless plug as well. And that is, we are, I just mentioned, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but the sports betting sponsors. But now that this show is reaching hundreds of thousands of you every month, we have had interest when it comes to sponsors coming on. I want to keep everything free at Heartland College Sports. That's very important to me. But it does mean we need some sponsors to join us. To help keep growing the site, growing our platforms. We want to keep doing things that provide great content for Big 12 fans. So if it's you, or you are someone who's in any industry that wants to join us and get your brand in front of an incredibly rabid fan base here that watches and consumes a lot of Big 12 content, just reach out to me, Pete Mundo, M-U-N-D-O, at heartlandcollegesports.com. And we'll just, you know, chop it up, kick off a conversation, and see where it leads us. That's what it's all about here. That's all we want to do. Everybody wins. That's the end game here with this. But congratulations, Colorado. They now control their own destiny to get to a Big 12 championship game and get to a college football playoff. They have to win out. Now, they've got to go to Kansas this weekend, which is now a very tough game. And then they end the season on Black Friday against Oklahoma State. So that is going to be, unfortunately, now a cakewalk probably. But going to Kansas and getting a win, that is not going to be easy this weekend by any stretch of the imagination. Meantime, you look around the conference. What have we not talked about yet? Oh, let's do this game. Iowa State, Cincinnati. Iowa State wins it 34-17 over the Bearcats. So I know a lot of Iowa State fans were just very frustrated with that first half, and I don't blame you, okay? You've got Jalen Noel, and you've got Jaden Higgins, arguably the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver in the Big 12. Now, Colorado may make that claim, but either way, it's up there as one of the best 1-2 punches in the entire Big 12 at wide receiver. However, they were not really utilized in that first half. I don't get it. But they finally woke up the offense in the second half, started throwing the ball a little bit, and it's amazing what happens when you actually, you know, throw the ball around the field. And you saw that on the opening drive of the second half. All of a sudden, there's Higgins, there's Noel. It's like, okay, there you go. There you go. I mean, this is what we want to see from you, Taylor Mosier, the Iowa State OC. Throw the ball around, baby. You got a great pair of wide receivers. I know you want to establish the run, and how much of that comes from Campbell top down, I don't know. But there was no reason to mess around and not be throwing the ball right out of the gates. There was just no reason for it. I mean, you were in a position to do it. You're home, and you're going up against a Cincinnati team that's been, you know, decent against the pass. Decent. I'm not going to call them outstanding by any stretch, but decent. But who cares? Make them stop you. And then if you got to go to the run after that, fine. But I know you want to establish the run, but this team is built with those wide receivers. And by the way, not having a very good run defense this year, this is not the Iowa State team that's going to win the 10-7 game. The defense is good. It's not what it's been under John Heacock based on those expectations. So based on that, you've got to sometimes adjust and play to your strengths. And Iowa State has great strengths at wide receiver, so utilize them. Put them to use. And finally, they did a much more of that in the second half, and they started to run away with this thing. Scored 10 points on their first two drives, and it felt like at that point the game was going to be out of reach. Because Cincinnati is not a team that's going to necessarily keep up with you blow for blow like that. They got really only one score in that second half late. So Iowa State, where it looked like they weren't going to cover, I want to say it was a 10-point spread, they end up getting a win comfortably, getting a cover as well. And for Cincinnati, maybe there was some last final hope that you were still going to be in some Big 12 race. I thought that ended with that West Virginia loss last week. But now Cincinnati's got to win out to get to a bowl, or win one of two to get to a bowl game. They're 5-5. They go to Kansas State and they play TCU. They will be underdogs in both of those games. So it's entirely possible that Cincinnati loses five straight games to end the season. And that's tough, but once again, the schedule matters so much in this conference. When you have 16 teams and you're only playing nine conference games, your schedule matters. And Cincinnati had a favorable schedule out of the gates. They got Houston early when they had no idea what they were doing. They got UCF when they were in the midst of all that quarterback nonsense. They got Arizona State when Sam Levitt was injured, right? So suddenly, if Sam Levitt's healthy in that game, does that game go differently for Arizona State? I don't want to take anything away from Cincinnati, but I don't think they win by 10 points if Sam Levitt's healthy, right? Maybe you feel differently. I don't think they win by 10 points if Sam Levitt's healthy in that game. So now you've got this team that's lost to Colorado, West Virginia, Iowa State, and now K-State and TCU coming up. And if you're Scott Satterfield, man, you really want to get that win, because if you get one win, you get to a bowl game, you are coasting into next year. If you end this year on a five-game losing streak and you miss a bowl game as a result after being 5-2, a lot of people are going to keep wondering after year two whether or not you're the guy. And you're going to have to deal with that all off season if you're Scott Satterfield. So he really wants a split here over the last couple of weeks, but it is going to be tough, like really tough for Satterfield. Meantime, Iowa State is in contention for a Big 12 title game appearance, but they need some help. They do. They're 5-2. They got to win out at Utah and then home to Kansas State to get to 7-2 in Big 12 play. And they're going to have to get some help along the way, because BYU and Colorado are both 6-1. So one of them or both of them have to lose at some point. And then you get into the mess that is Big 12 tiebreakers. And we will cover all that and more this week on the website at heartlandcollegesports.com. So that's where you want to find all the tiebreaker information. Every single week we are updating you on those tiebreakers. That way you can tell what the path is for your team to get to the Big 12 championship game. But this is how it goes right now. This is how the conference is set up with 16 teams. It's a mess in every Power 4 league, ACC, SEC, Big 10 to a lesser extent right now, looking at the standings. But they all have to go through the tiebreaker process, and it's going to leave potentially one or multiple teams very unhappy with how these conference championships play out. On the YouTube channel, Pete, say it. Say forks up. I can say forks. I think I said forks up already. If not forks up, baby, let's go. Okay, I'm all about it. Are you kidding me? This is the most exciting storyline in the Big 12 right now. Forks up all day, every day. I got to get my sorry butt out to Tempe pretty soon for a game. That's what I've got to do. My goodness, I'm all about it. Yes, forks up. Sign me up. Now, you guys got to show up and show out to that BYU game this weekend. That place is going to be lit. And, who had, just real quick note, who had BYU at Arizona State week 13 in the Big 12 as that game that you circled on the calendar as like must watch, huge game in the conference? Don't lie, none of us did. Yet here we are. That is why they play the games, as a former Arizona State coach infamously said when he was with the New York Jets, Herm Edwards. Oh, did I just spoil the entire show for Arizona State fans by saying that name? I'm sorry. Just having fun here. That's all. Oh, man. Okay. Baylor beats West Virginia 49-35, and Dave Aranda has saved his job after a fourth straight win. After the game, it was reported by Sikkim 365, great folks over there, Colt Barber, I've known for 10 years, that Dave Aranda is coming back for 2025. I said 2 weeks ago when they beat TCU, I thought he saved his job. Well, now after getting the bowl eligibility, a sixth win, a fourth straight win in Big 12 play after an 0-3 start, Dave Aranda's coming back, and it is well-deserved. His team made great adjustments on defense. He's now calling the defense for this team. The first half, I mean, it was like a shootout, old-school Big 12 style. The second half, no points scored in the third quarter. Baylor puts up a couple of scores in the fourth. The only touchdown or the only points from West Virginia came at the end in basically garbage time when Baylor was up by three touchdowns. So Dave Aranda is continuing to do good work calling the defensive side of the ball. He's gotten back in the mix in that. Of course, that's where he made his bones as a defensive coordinator recently at LSU before taking the Baylor job. And you are seeing that come to fruition in a very positive way for the Baylor Bears. And this is a team that, just like Kansas, I would not want to be playing right now. Now, the final two games for Baylor are not games that have any Big 12 title implications. They're Houston and Kansas. But they could go 8-4. Think about that. After a 2-4 start, they could go 8-4 and end the season with a six-game winning streak. And then suddenly, we're going to be talking a lot about Baylor this offseason as a team to watch in 2025. Bryson Washington may be the most underrated offensive weapon in this entire league right now. He's a freshman. He's with Baylor, so he's not getting a lot of attention. But this guy has been on a tear the past month. Look at the last month for Bryson Washington. He rushed for 116 yards at Tech, 78 yards against Oklahoma State, 196 yards against TCU, and 123 yards against West Virginia. The last two games, he's averaging over 7 yards a carry. Against Texas Tech, he averaged over 11 yards a carry. He has just been unbelievable. And over the last two games, he's got 7 touchdowns. This guy, I'm glad that Aranda's now got some NIL money, because if not, he might be in a one-way ticket out of town. He has been unbelievable. And you are bringing him back with Sawyer Robertson. There's a lot of returning pieces on this team that Aranda's going to have to work with on both sides of the ball. And you're seeing that defense come alive. Multiple sacks. I think they had 7 or 8 tackles for loss. They are getting to the quarterback as well. They are getting in the backfield. And it was smart for West Virginia to start Garrett Green. I didn't think that Green was going to play. I thought they were going to stay with Nico Marchiol. But the one thing that Green does, if you're not prepared, is he's got the ability in the running game that Marchiol does not. And considering Baylor didn't know who was going to play quarterback, they might have leaned towards Marchiol. Green gives you those wheels. But the problem for Garrett Green is that he has not developed as a passer. It still feels like I'm watching the same guy from 2 years ago, where he can be creative. When a play breaks down, he's got good legs. But in the end, you've got to be a better passer in this conference to win at a high level. And Garrett Green has not developed enough as a passer. And, you know, he doesn't have great weapons at wide receiver, but they're good enough where he should be playing better than he does when it comes to throwing the ball. But he gives you a good dimension in the running game that's tough to prepare for. And that did make it difficult, especially in that first half, for the Baylor defense. But they were able to, you know, turn things around in that second half. And now you look at Neil Brown and you say to yourself, is he back in 25? He's got 2 games left. He's 5-5. UCF and Texas Tech. If he loses out and misses a bowl game, and I like Neil Brown a lot, it is going to be tough to justify having him back for another year. It doesn't mean they won't. It doesn't mean he shouldn't. But the sell is going to be much more difficult. So we'll have to watch and see how that plays out. And then we had the Friday night game. This was the one game I missed on my picks. My picks this week, I gave you KU +3. That was my lock of the week. And then I gave you Baylor -2.5. And the last game I gave you was Houston +1 at Arizona. That was obviously a dud. So my picks went 2-1. And on Friday night, what you saw was an Arizona team that had a bye week to figure out why it played such an awful game at UCF. They were home. And I don't want to say you saw what you thought you'd see all season, because you didn't. I mean, even Fifita and McMillan were good. I mean, McMillan, the guy's just, he really is amazing. He should be a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. He's that good at wide receiver. But you just saw an Arizona team that was fresh, that was home, that was comfortable, and a Houston team that's had some great moments, but maybe was feeling itself a little too much after two straight wins, coming back at home against Kansas State in the fourth quarter, having a bye week to celebrate it, and they just came out really flat. In a game that there's not a lot to say outside of that, both teams are going nowhere this season. But for Arizona and Coach Brennan, he really needed that thing. I mean, in the worst way. This team had lost five in a row going into that game. Now they've got TCU and then Arizona State to end the season. If they win out, they're bowl eligible. If they upset Arizona State's chances to get to a Big 12 championship, Brennan's going to be in a good spot. At least he's going to come back. Because I've been seeing the conversation, as many of you have, about whether or not Brennan could get blown out after 1 year. Now, I have not done enough on the deep diving into knowing whether or not that's feasible and possible when it comes to the finances. But the fact that people are even talking about it tells you just how disappointing a season this has been for Arizona. And boy, it has been. Meantime, for Houston, listen, they're exceeding expectations in year one under Willie Fritz. And this is what I thought they would do. I had them going, I think, 4-5 in my preseason predictions for the Houston Cougars. Now, trust me, plenty of my preseason picks were wrong. I had Utah and UCF in the Big 12 championship game. So make fun of me all you want. I'm here to take the slings and the arrows. I'm a big boy. I can take it. But I did think that Houston would exceed expectations. And now they close out the season at home against Baylor and then at BYU. They'd have to win out to get to a bowl game. Highly unlikely, but even if it's just a 4-8 year, with what really Fritz was working with in year one and some of the wins that they were able to pick up, TCU, Utah, Kansas State, I would call it a successful season, because there is not a lot there for Willie Fritz to work with. It feels like year one under Lance Leipold at Kansas in many respects. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. I so appreciate you being here as a part of the show. I will end the show with this rant, because I just got triggered by this based on a comment I saw on YouTube. So let me end the show here on Heartland College Sports with this rant that is intended for Desmond Howard of College Game Day. Desmond Howard, during the pick section at the end of College Game Day, we wrote about this at heartlandcollegesports.com, said he did not know why they were picking the K-State-Arizona State game. Maybe the dumb son of a gun didn't realize that both teams were 7-2, they were in the hunt for a Big 12 championship game, and the game was airing on his own company's network. That's right, ESPN. This guy has been the biggest dunce on that show for years. And for him to be like, I don't know, I'm not sure what's going to happen, why are we picking this game? I guess I'll pick Kansas State. The show, which I always loved, has become such propaganda for the SEC. And to a lesser extent, the Big Ten. The Big 12, they haven't been to a Big 12 game in over 2 years at this point. Like a true Big 12 game. The last time they were at one was KU-TCU 2 years ago, when KU had that great start to the season. They were in Lawrence for that game. They give less and less attention to the conference. Meantime, Big Noon Kickoff is going to 5 Big 12 games already this season. They are loving the Big 12. They realize the fan bases are engaged. And I get it. ESPN is in bed with the SEC. But don't pretend to cover the sport anymore. Just put the stuff on. Just here's what you should do, okay? Because they also have a pregame show on the SEC network. Just do a dual stream, College Game Day to ESPN and College Game Day to the SEC network, because it's the same thing at this point. You've got supposedly experts on that panel like Desmond Howard. All the guy does all week is supposedly read about, listen to, and watch college football coverage. And he doesn't know why his own panel is picking K-State Arizona. The guy's a two-bit huckster. He has been forever. He's the worst part. Well, actually, he's not even the worst part of the show because Lee Corso's half dead, and he's still on the show. I love Lee Corso, but at this point, it's elder abuse what's going on with Lee Corso. Herb Street's amazing. I like Reese Davis as well, and I really like McAfee. If it wasn't for McAfee, I don't think I'd watch that show at all. But McAfee does keep me coming back. I think he's wildly entertaining and smart. But my goodness, between the dunce that's Desmond Howard and Lee Corso being 3 feet under, he's halfway to six, and then you factor in the Big 12 bias against the conference, it is impossible to watch. Really is. And with that, we're out. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Subscribe to the channel, please, if you haven't yet. It's going to be a hell of a final few weeks here. And hit the thumbs up on the video as well. That helps us out tremendously. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Leave that 5-star rating and review on the podcast if you haven't yet, Apple and Spotify. Thank you, guys. We're growing because of you. We appreciate you. Have a great day. Go Big 12. We'll talk to you soon.
Movement has the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics. Be the good gifter this year. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com and enjoy fast and free shipping. That's MVMT.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.